Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
Abortion is murder, no matter what they call it, brothers and sisters in Christ. Abortion became legal here in the United States January 22nd, 1973, whenever the U.S. Supreme Court in Roe versus Wade looked at the very controversial as well as long debate concerning a woman's right to choose in regard to if indeed she wanted to give birth to the child that she was carrying. Good people, this mandate gives the woman the right to choose, and I might add in this, it gives no right at all to the unborn child. It places the right to govern, the right to decide, fully in the hands of the mother and or the father, dependent upon the situation. In this, it opened the door for abortion clinics in and throughout the United States. And as you consider these abortion clinics, good people, were not only speaking in regard to medical facilities, but also we find, as we consider the historicity of this, is that it opened the door for those places that were nothing more or less than slaughterhouses, wherein that children's lives were taken. In this, it is big business here in the United States. In this, we understand is that there are over 4 million abortions each year, and it is a multi-billion dollar business for those who are involved in this. Why do people abort? Why do mothers who are carrying children decide that they do not want these children? Sometimes the pregnancy is because of an immoral relationship. Children will involve themselves in a relationship outside of marriage, and they will become pregnant, and they will decide that they do not want the child or that they're too young, and therefore they will abort. Oftentimes, though, you will find those who are involved in immoral relationships, extramarital relationships outside of the marriage, and as a result of that, these people will abort. Good people, the Bible defines, indeed, those who can be together in a sexual sense, and it is only those who are married, husbands and wives, in a scriptural manner, as is laid out by God. Also, we understand is that sometimes it will abort because the baby is not the right gender. They wanted a male, and instead they're going to have a female. Or they wanted a female, and they're going to have a son. Good people, the Bible tells us that we need to recognize that no matter what it is, a male or a female, or both, if they're having twins, that these children are indeed a gift from God, that they are precious from our God and in the sight of Him, and in like figure they should be to us. Sometimes couples will abort because of finances. They find is that their finances are insignificant or insufficient, rather, at that time, and for that reason they feel that they cannot have children or should not have children, and that they cannot provide for them in a way that they want to be able to provide, and for that reason they will abort them. But also we understand is that sometimes the mother is a victim of rape. And based out of that situation, the mother determines that she cannot love that child as what she ought to love the child, and therefore she will abort. That will be her decision to end the life, to terminate the life of the child. Sometimes parents will decide is that the timing is not right. They're involved in going to school, or it's too early in the marital relationship to where that they do not want to introduce a child into the relationship that they have going on or into the life that they have going on in their lifestyle at that time, and therefore the timing is not right. Good people, when we think in regard to abortion, there are multiple methods that are spelled out. Sometimes women who have abortions performed will go and they will have illegal procedures performed. You say, Kevin, what is that? That is where they will take medication that will help them to abort. And these medications are not been prescribed for that very end. And sometimes they will even have their friends to hit them in the stomach, or they will fall down thinking that this will lead to them to abort the baby. Sometimes they choose to abort through a surgical procedure. In this, good people, they go through an operation, and that baby then, its life is terminated in the womb and sucked out of the mother. But also we understand sometimes is that they decide to insert chemicals wherein that the baby will be dissolved, at least in part, and the life will be terminated. Sometimes, and especially here more in our modern age, is that women are turning to the modern pills. I believe it's RU486, and it's called the morning after pill that will terminate the birth or the child that is there in the mother's womb. Some die each year. And good people understand whatever I'm stating, that some die, millions die, whatever we think in regard to children, but some of the mothers even die as a result of these methods of abortion, entering into this form of sin, taking the life of a child. And in like figure, then these mothers will place their life in danger, and this will indeed lead to their death. And understand too that they will someday stand before the Almighty God. What does the Bible say in reference to abortion, to those who would take life? Good people, we need to understand that first and foremost, life is from God. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, we realize that God is responsible for the creation of all things, and that God has created mankind after His image. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says that God has breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul or a living being. Why? Because God has created man, but also the Bible tells us that God has produced, God has created the reproductive system. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11. Each seed is to reproduce after its own kind. After God had created Adam and Eve and placed them there in the Garden of Eden, He told them that they were to come together as a husband and wife, that they were to be fruitful and to multiply the earth and to subdue it. And good people, we understand is that God has placed in man the ability to reproduce, and God therefore is responsible for life that is indeed in the womb. All life begins immediately at the point of conception. In the book of Ruth chapter 4 and verse 13, we understand concerning her and Boaz is that the Lord opened up her womb. And good people, the Bible identifies there is that she conceived. We also understand concerning Leah in Genesis chapter 29, verses 30 and 31, is that the Lord opened up her womb and she conceived, and within her then, according to what the Bible defines, according to the way in which God describes that, at the point of conception was indeed a child. It was indeed life. As we turn to the New Testament Scripture, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 41, as well as Acts chapter 7 and verse 19, the Bible identifies by using a Greek term to reference an infant as well as to identify the fetus that is within the womb. And it is the same Greek word for child or for the infant as is used for the fetus. What is it exactly that God is trying to tell us? Good people, indeed, God is trying to tell us that it is a child in the womb, and that that child represents a life. At what point in the stage of the pregnancy? At the point of conception, life begins. The fetus then develops in and throughout the course of the pregnancy. Not only does God give life, not only is God responsible for conception, the Bible also defines unto us is that God is working with that child as it is developing in the womb. Yes, it is indeed a part of nature. Why is it a part of nature? Because God is responsible for the natural process of all things that are natural or according to nature here in this world. But when we think in regard to that natural process, the Bible defines for us that God is there working with the development of that child, working with them mentally, working with them physically, to develop this child as they are in the womb according to the time frame that God has given for that developmental stages in the mother's womb. The Bible also tells us, though, that whenever the birth gives way, whenever the child comes into this world, that birth gives way unto further growth and unto development. Whenever they're outside of the womb, they're able to live. Why? Because of what took place in the womb. They're able to grow and to mature in and throughout the course of their life, even to the point to where you and I, those who are within the sound of my voice today, are able to do. Why? Because God gave life in the womb, and God continued with that life as it was in the womb and still today continues with us. The Bible defines before us very clearly that abortion is murder. The Bible condemns all forms of murder. We go back to the Old Testament Scripture, and the Bible explains very explicitly in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6 that those who shed innocent blood, that their blood in like figure shall be required of them. In the law of Moses in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, the Bible defines there that mankind was not to commit murder. in the term there. Some translations give to be kill, but yet at the same time, it ought to be transliterated murder. In this, God looks down upon all forms of murder. Why? Because murder is taking a life. The law of Moses set forth very strict punishments for those who would murder. But good people understand, not only who would murder in the sense in which you and I would consider today, wherein that an adult would take another adult's life, or wherein that an individual would take any person's life as they're outside of the womb, but also, according to Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 through 25, it is identified in the context that if a mother's child's life is taken while it is in the womb, then that individual who's responsible has consequences to face. And oftentimes, the consequences involve the taking of that individual's life. How does God feel about it? Under the law of Moses, He set forth very strict punishments for those who would terminate, either voluntarily or involuntarily, the life of the child in the womb. What is God trying to say? Good people, our God hates the hands of those who shed innocent blood. And somebody might say, Kevin, are you trying to say that God hates anything? Most certainly He does. We serve a God who loves and a God who demonstrates His love on a continual each and every day basis while we're here. In fact, you and I understand that the greatest manifestation of our God's love is seen in and through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son and our Savior. John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is most certainly a God of love, but yet at the same time, brethren, there are things that our God hates. In fact, we understand is that there are explicitly six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven, He says, are an abomination unto Him. What is a part of that? The hands who shed innocent blood. Well, what are the hands that shed innocent blood? What's innocent blood? Innocent blood would be any life that is undeserving of death. Yes, there is indeed punishment that is deserving of death. That was true under the Old Testament law. It's still true under the law today, according to the laws of the land. But yet at the same time, whenever we look in regard to those who are innocent, those who have not done anything worthy or deserving of death, if somebody takes their life, good people, the Lord hates those hands. These people will stand before God in judgment. And now take and consider that when we're thinking about the life that is in the womb, the child that is there, that has been given by God. Those individuals who would take that life, indeed they have taken an innocent life. And God hates those people's hands, the hands of those individuals, and they too shall stand before our God in judgment. The Scripture indicates very clearly that abortion is sin. Abortion is sin. No matter what they want to say about it, no matter how they spell it, no matter how they paint the picture, the Bible still very clearly identifies that murder is sin, and aborting is indeed murder. And therefore, we must conclude as Christians that abortion is sin, no matter what man might try to say. As Christians, you and I must be a voice for the unborn child. These children are not able to speak up for themselves. And as Christians, you and I must be understand the obligation that we have to stand and to be in defense of what is going on against these children. Against their opportunity to live. Against their chance to be brought into this world. And somebody says, Kevin, look at the world today. The world today doesn't have anything to offer them. The world is evil and corrupt. The world is immoral and unethical. The world is in a very depressed state in regard to economics. Kevin, are you saying that we need to bring a child into this world? Yes, by all means. If conception is there, if indeed the life is in the womb, good people, because of the state of the economy, because the immorality of the world does not give us a right to abort, does not give us any freedom, any right or authority to end or to terminate a life. And you and I need to be voices to stand up and to oppose those who are supporters of abortion. Somebody says, well, Kevin, I thought that we're supposed to lead a peaceful and quiet life. Good people understand that in leading a peaceful and quiet life, that gives us an opportunity for the proclamation of the gospel. so that mankind must be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. But leading a peaceful and quiet life doesn't mean that we remain silent whenever it comes to biblical issues such as this. It means that indeed, whenever we're presented opportunities, whenever we're presented with things that are ungodly, that we must stand and we must be heard. How are we heard? By making certain that people who are around and about us understand our positions. How are we heard? Good people, we are heard also in an election year, whenever we go to the polls and we cast our vote. We cast our vote for the one who is less evil, and we cast our vote knowing where these individuals stand. If they stand for abortion, we vote against them. Why? Because I believe that it's our Christian thing to do. It's what we are as Christians. We vote for God and not for the man or for our pocketbook oftentimes. In this, we must also understand that we must obey God rather than man. Yes, I understand that God is responsible for the giving or for the creation of government. In this, God has created government, and government then, therefore, is given for the protection of humanity here in the United States. Our government is to be there for us, to protect us. So sadly, we've gotten to a form of big government that no longer focuses upon the biblical definition of why they're here. And this, though, we realize concerning government is that government will enact, government will impose, government will give laws that are not according to New Testament Scripture. And as a result of that, good people, we need to realize that our obligation, our citizenship is in heaven, and therefore our number one responsibility is always unto God. If mankind, according to government, enacts or mandates laws that oppose God, we must not go along with the laws, but rather we must stand for God. This principle is brought forth in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, where Peter says we ought to obey God rather than man. And brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I must always make certain that we realize that our relationship is number one with the Creator. And while we are citizens here, our true citizenship is in heaven, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. But also as Christians, we must work diligently to remove political leaders who do not stand where God wants them to stand. I wish that we had a member of the Lord's church, a strong, committed Christian, one who truly knows the Bible, who would run for political offices outside of our local government, who would run on state levels. And we do have some who are doing that. And my hat's off to them. I appreciate them so very much. I've worked with some of them whenever we were working in the state of Indiana. And what a blessing that was to work with them who were on the same page as we are from a biblical standpoint concerning these issues. But I wish that we had some man or woman even, I guess, who would step up and run for the President of the United States of America who belong to the body of Christ. Why do I state that? Because this foolishness concerning abortion, concerning homosexuality, and all these things will go away. At least I hope and pray. If we could replace our political leaders who do not stand for the truth and start us down that path of godliness again, the people of this country would indeed turn around. We would turn around economically. Why? Because God would bless us. Now, in turning around economically, that doesn't mean that we're all going to have a mansion on the hillside down in Gatlinburg. But God will bless us and provide for what we need. And the Lord will be there for us to make certain that these issues are taken away and that we are, again, a nation who trusts in God and who focuses upon those things that certainly are becoming of what God would be pleased with. As Christians, you and I must trust that God will someday judge those sinners in the end. We need to be very careful about becoming vigilantes. I think I've used that terminology from the pulpit before. A vigilante is one who takes matters into their own hands. Charles Bronson starred in a movie years ago called The Vigilante. And somebody had taken the life of his wife, and he took matters into his own hand, and he went forth killing everywhere until he finally found the ones who had taken his wife's life. And I know watching that movie, I must say that as he did that, I thought to myself, finally got even. It's not about getting even. Amen. It's about trusting in the Lord and to realize that vengeance belongs to God. And these people will someday stand before God for the sins that they commit. But yet at the same time, we do not accept the sin, but rather we do all that we can to change their minds, to change the direction that this country is going in. Still, people will question and they will say, but Kevin, what about if medically it is necessary for a lady to have an abortion? Brothers and sisters, I don't know everything concerning the medical field and things of that nature, and I know from time to time that life is placed in danger, not only the life of the child, but even the life of the mother. And that certainly would be a situation that I'm not schooled or qualified really to go into great detail, but yet at the same time, we need to trust in the Lord at all points in and throughout the course of our life here. And I believe that that would fit into that category. Also, though, is that sometimes people will say, but Kevin, what if the couple cannot afford the child? Shouldn't they just give the child over to allowing the child not to come into this world? Shouldn't they abort? Some people will even say, but Kevin, what if the child is a teenager and the child is unwanted? Good people, in all of this, we can argue these things all the way to the core. What if the body, what if the child is conceived in rape? What if all of these things were true? What if the mother doesn't want the child? What do we do? Two wrongs don't make a right. It's never right to do wrong. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 27, that principle is laid out. Well, what's the option? Good people, the option is never abortion. Adoption is the option. If the couple cannot afford the child, there are parents out there. There are people out there who would love to be able to adopt a child and to provide for them. If the kid is a teenager, if the child is unwanted, there are those out there who stand willing and ready to take the child in and to be there as a mature adult to raise the child. And yet at the same time, let me say this, and I hope and pray that we have none of our teens who will find yourself pregnant outside of wedlock. If you do, you sin against God. But if indeed it were to be that case, do not abort. And in fact, be very cautious about giving the child away because it may be something that you may regret years down the road that you cannot turn around. Number one, don't do sex outside of marriage. And in that, don't make a mistake that you're then going to be responsible for and regret later down the pike, if you would. But what about in the case of rape? Good people, because of rape, in that, by all means, that is a sin that the individual has committed against the mother. And in that, yet at the same time, the child, even though it is conceived, if you would, in sin, because of a sinful act, doesn't mean that the child is a sinner. That's Calvinistic, isn't it? And the Bible says that the child is not a sinner, the child's innocent before God, and the child had nothing at all to do with the situation. And to terminate the life is wrong because of a case of rape. There's no authorization to do so. What's the option? The option, if the mother does not want, if the parents don't want to step up and be parents, then adoption is always the option. It is the only option in all of these cases. We need certainly to understand the seriousness of what is being shoved down our throat by our political leaders. But not only to understand these things, but then to stand against them as we have an opportunity to do so. Abortion. Murder is murder, no matter how they spell it. And good people, let us never participate in sin, more specifically the sin that has been talked about this morning in our lesson. If you're here this morning, you're outside of the body of Christ, if you're not a New Testament Christian, we hope and pray that you have been considering your life. We hope and pray that in considering your life, if you find that your life does not line up with the New Testament Scripture, if you are not a Christian, if you have never confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God, if you've never submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ,
for the forgiveness of sin. We hope and pray that you will want to do that today.